Going to open up to our next reading, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through to 14, and as we're listening to God's word here, particularly pay attention to what it's saying about the Holy Spirit as a seal and a guarantee in our life. So Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 11. In Him, that is Christ, in Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. Amen. Well, boys and girls, it's Christmas in how many days? Do you know? Four. It's Christmas in 4 days, in four sleeps. And I wonder, have you been watching any Christmas movies over the last few weeks? Do you have any favourite Christmas movies to watch at this time of the year? In my opinion, there's only probably a few worth watching, and one of them is Home Alone. A warning, if you haven't watched Home Alone, a few spoilers are about to be said here, but it did come out 35 years ago, so I don't feel too bad. In this movie, Home Alone, the McAllister family is frantically rushing to get to the airport for their Christmas vacation. Busy. They all trundle off. But in the chaos, Kevin, their youngest son, gets left behind. Home alone, all by himself. Boys and girls, do you fear? Do you worry that this might happen to you? In all the chaos, at Christmas time, your family may jump in the car and depart, and you'll be left behind. Home alone. But I wonder, is that what Jesus has done to His children? When He ascended into heaven, did He just abandon us to fend for ourselves? I wonder if you've actually experienced these times when you feel alone on earth. No help, no support, no comfort. And you wonder, has Jesus forgotten and abandoned me? Well, over the past few weeks, we've been looking at the benefits of Christ's ascension. Craig first looked at the benefit of Christ's intercessory work in heaven for us. Last week, we explored how through Jesus, we have our own flesh in heaven now. Jesus is our pledge in heaven. But this evening, as we consider the question of whether we're disadvantaged at all by Jesus' ascension, well, we're going to discover that no, God has not abandoned us. God has not forgotten us and left us alone on earth. Rather, He has sent His Spirit. And so this evening, we're going to look at three reasons why the Spirit was sent to us. Firstly, we'll see that the Spirit helps us on earth. Then secondly, we'll see the Spirit seals and guarantees heaven for us. And then finally, we'll see how the Spirit makes heaven our home. So let's begin by looking at how the Spirit helps us on earth. In Jesus' final moments with His disciples in the upper room, Jesus knows He's about to depart. He knows He's about to go to the cross, die, rise again and ascend into heaven. And so in John chapter 14, verse 16, he expresses to his disciples that he will give them another helper. This helper is the Holy Spirit, who Jesus says he will be with us forever. The Holy Spirit will be with us forever. And in these upper room passages, the expression of the Holy Spirit as our helper is useful for helping us understand the Spirit's role. This word helper, it conveys the idea of someone who is sent, someone who is given to provide assistance and aid. Other Bibles translate this word as advocate or comforter or counselor. These different translations are useful expressions attempting to convey the diverse and comprehensive nature of the Spirit's role in our lives. But the key point Jesus is making here, by giving the Spirit this name, he's designating the Spirit as the Christian's helper through their earthly pilgrimage. The Spirit is the Christian's helper during their earthly pilgrimage. In fact, in John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says that it is to our advantage that he leaves, that he goes away, so that the Spirit or the helper will come. But I'm not sure the disciples would have agreed with Jesus at the time. I'm not sure they would have agreed with his words and what he was saying. And I wonder, do you agree with Jesus' statement? Is it better for us that Jesus departed into heaven and gave us the Spirit as our helper? What would you prefer? Well, let me give you three reasons why we are advantaged by Jesus' departure and the Spirit's arrival. Firstly, let's remember that while Jesus and the Holy Spirit are two distinct people within the Trinity, they are equal. They are of the same substance and essence. They are one. So this might not be an advantage, but it's certainly not a disadvantage. We're not shortchanged. God is still with us. It's just the third person of the Trinity who is with us, not the second person of the Trinity. Secondly, the Spirit applies what Christ has accomplished to our lives. Because the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, is God, he is in the unique position of knowing all that Christ has accomplished. And he has the power to apply it to our lives. This is why we read in John 16, verses 14, that the Spirit comes to glorify Jesus. The Spirit doesn't come to glorify himself, but to glorify Jesus. Because the Spirit is taking all that Christ has done, all that Christ has accomplished during his life, death, and resurrection, and he's applying those benefits to the believer's life and teaching us what Christ, or all what Christ has done, what it means for us. We read that the Spirit does not declare anything contrary to Jesus. But the Spirit simply applies all that Christ has accomplished for God's glory. And then thirdly, while Jesus in his humanity is limited to one physical location, the Spirit is not. Throughout redemptive history, God has always dwelt with his people. God has been among his people, but it's primarily been through one physical location. As a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, God led his people out of slavery. in the tabernacle and in the temple, God's presence dwelt in the center of Israel's camp. And then when God came through Jesus Christ in the flesh, God dwelt with his people. But since the gospel is for all nations, the gospel is going forward now, well, God sends his Spirit to dwell in every believer throughout the nations. Not in one physical location, but throughout the nations. 1 Corinthians 3:16 uses some of this imagery when it says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" The sending of the Spirit, the Helper, is to the believer's advantage because firstly, the Spirit is God. Secondly, the Spirit applies all that Christ accomplished. And thirdly, the Spirit dwells with all God's people. But day to day, do we actually recognize and experience this advantage? Do we experience this advantage and the benefits, the blessings of the Spirit who has come? Often I don't know if I do. I don't know if I appreciate the fact that the Spirit of God dwells with us. Perhaps I tend to think, no, the 12 disciples, they had the advantage. But let's remember the disciples frequently misunderstood Jesus. They didn't comprehend things perfectly, did they? Even after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, they still had some misconceptions. It wasn't actually until the Holy Spirit came and descended upon them at Pentecost that they came to fully grasp and understand the gospel and what Christ had done for them. And so I ask you, I ask us, do we appreciate the Holy Spirit? That you have been born again through the Spirit. That the Spirit supplies and applies all the gifts of salvation to you. The Spirit gives faith. The Spirit applies forgiveness in our lives. That the Spirit perfectly teaches you. The Spirit gives us understanding of the truth. Without the Spirit, we would understand nothing. We would still be in our earthly, fleshly minds. And that the Spirit lives in you and is purifying and sanctifying you, convicting you of sin, leading you in paths of righteousness. Without the Spirit, that would not occur. And the Spirit actually gives us the power, empowers us to be able to live this obedient life. And so when Jesus departed, no, he did not abandon us. God did not leave us alone. God the Father, through God the Son, sent God the Spirit to be our personal helper and our guide throughout our earthly pilgrimage. We have help on earth through the Spirit. But now, how does the Spirit also provide us with a pledge of heaven? Secondly, we see that the Spirit seals and guarantees heaven for us. Several passages in Scripture speak of the Holy Spirit as God's seal on our lives and his guarantee of our heavenly inheritance. A seal was a unique legal marker and sign, a legal marker and sign that was common in the ancient world. For instance, owners put seals on their possessions to protect them from being stolen. If they were ever stolen, well, it was obvious whose seal was on it and who it belonged to. A seal functioned as a legal marker indicating who something belonged to. But a seal also had another function. It was also used as a signature to authorize legal documents. Kings would use them a lot. And so if you stamped your unique seal on a document, you were now legally bound to abide by that. For instance, in Nehemiah chapter 10, there's a list of people who renew the covenant with God and they put their seal on it. They are binding themselves to that covenant. That's what a seal is. And a guarantee is also a legal term. It commonly referred to a deposit paid to secure a purchase. It was a down payment. And in many cases, this guarantee, this down payment, rendered a contract legally binding. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, when it says that we were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, this is God marking us as his own possession, putting his own unique seal on our lives. And so those who have the Spirit, who have this seal, well, we belong to God. But more than that, God is actually legally bound to keep his promises to you. And then in verse 14, the passage goes on to say that we were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. The Holy Spirit also functions as a deposit and a pledge that we will dwell with God in heaven for eternity. God is giving you a down payment of himself, guaranteeing that more is to come. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 through to 22, it says something very similar to the passage in Ephesians. It says this: "And it is God who has anointed us and who has put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." We often struggle to trust people in life, don't we? Last week we spoke about how people want proof of security in life. We want proof that someone will be able to pay their debts. We want a seal authorizing a contract or an employment agreement. We want a guarantee that the purchase we make online will actually arrive. Have you ever made an online purchase and after you've made that purchase, you're worried, wait a minute, have I just been scammed here? You think to yourself, that website did look a bit dodgy. And some of those reviews are a bit questionable. And maybe the price was a little too good to be true. On the other hand, have you done some Christmas shopping online, perhaps? And after you've made that purchase, you seem to receive an email every single day from them. Firstly, they're confirming your purchase. Then they send you a note to say that your item has been shipped. And another message to say that the item is arriving today. And then another one to say that it's arrived and there's a photo showing you that it's arrived. Well, they want to instill confidence in you. They're trying to do everything they can to instill confidence in you. And likewise, God doesn't hesitate to provide his children with confirmation. He doesn't want doubt to fester in our minds. No, instead he puts his seal on us. He stamps us. He stamps you as his own possession. children who bear his unique mark of the Spirit. And he guarantees it by giving us his Spirit as a down payment of heaven. He gives us a slice of heaven. He gives us a slice of himself now. Through receiving the Holy Spirit, we are signed, sealed, and waiting to be delivered to heaven. And this might prompt some of you to ask yourself, but how do I know if I've received the Spirit? We're talking about it being a pledge and a seal and a guarantee, but how do I know that that seal is on my life? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, Paul provides quite a simple test. He says, "No one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." Those who have the Spirit of God are those who recognize Jesus as their master, their Lord. They submit to his authority. They surrender their lives to him. You know, when a politician is being interviewed and they're asked quite a simple, a straightforward question, and in their answer, in their response, they say everything else except answer the question. The same is often true of an unbeliever. If you ask them, "Is Jesus your Lord?" they might say, "I'm a big fan of Jesus. He was a great teacher, great leader, great example. Good on you, follow him." They might say he was a prophet even. But they won't say that Jesus is their Lord. And perhaps if they do utter these words, well, their actions show quite the opposite. They dismiss the authority of God in their lives and they push back against all of his word. Well, these people do not have the Spirit. But when asked, "Who is the Lord of your life? Who is the Lord of your life?" if without hesitation you confess, "Jesus is my Lord," then you have received the Holy Spirit. If you confess your sin and are able to acknowledge the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ, and you confess him as your Savior and your Lord, well, you have received the Holy Spirit. There is no other way people can confess this unless the Spirit is at work in their life. The Spirit has signed and sealed and guaranteed your salvation and much more. This is all proof of God's pledge on your life. His Holy Spirit is that seal and that guarantee of your eternal life in heaven. Which leads us to our final point. The Spirit makes heaven our home. The Spirit makes heaven our home. While the Spirit is our helper while we reside here on earth, earth is no longer our home. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit for heaven, for a new home. And so this reality must impact the way we live. If you're renting a house, you're not going to spend thousands of dollars and hours of time renovating that place because it doesn't belong to you. Even though you live in it, at any moment, you could be asked to move on. We only make these types of investments for places that belong to us. And in the same way, we shouldn't be investing the best of our time, our gifts, our resources for treasures on earth when we don't belong on earth. But for treasures in heaven where we do belong. That is why Paul urges believers in Colossians chapter 3, some of the words I shared at the beginning of our service as our call to worship. He says this, set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Where does your mind most often drift to? On a Sunday afternoon, where does your mind drift? To heaven or to earth? Are you often thinking about heavenly or earthly investments? About who you'll evangelize next or what you'll watch next? About meeting God on that day or meeting your spouse? About finishing the race and keeping the faith or finishing work and retiring? Where does your mind go? Or to ask the question another way, what excites you most? Things of heaven or things of earth? A new convert or a new car? God's laws or government laws? A Sunday worship service or the Saturday sport? Time with God or time on your phone? What excites you most? Now, some of these things I've mentioned aren't inherently bad. They are good things. But if we're going to compare them, well, one is infinitely greater, is it not? Finishing work and retiring, that is good. That is a great thing. But picture for a moment, finishing the race of life and receiving the crown of righteousness. Entering to heaven and hearing God's beautiful words to you. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come into my kingdom, my child. You know, a new car would be nice, wouldn't it? With all its gadgets and features. But imagine the new heavens and the new earth. It's going to be unimaginable. Incredible. This afternoon, the Australian cricket team won the Ashes, and they're going to be celebrating tonight and probably lots of other Australians. Sorry if that's a spoiler for anyone. But picture that, like the celebrating they are doing in comparison to the celebrations we're going to have in heaven, worshipping our God. They're incomparable. Where would you prefer to set your mind? On the things of heaven? The things above or the things below? By the Spirit's power in our lives, we begin to seek the things above, where Christ is seated. And we begin to live for heaven now, because God has sealed, He has guaranteed it to us by His Spirit. That is where we belong, that is where we're going. So, brothers and sisters, there are two ways we can live our lives. One is like a homeowner who spends their entire life savings on building their dream home, block by block, day by day. It's their pride and joy. It's their life. The other person is their neighbor who's a lifelong renter. They've moved from place to place. They've never become too attached to a property because they've been promised a wonderful inheritance. And then one day, both of them return home to their street and see that their houses have been destroyed. Well, the homeowner's distraught that he's lost everything. Everything valuable to him has been destroyed. Everything they've built, their whole life, gone in an instant. And in comparison, the renter is calm and content. They tell you they never really liked the place that much anyway. It never felt like home to them. There was nothing of infinite valuable to them in the home. And they know they've got this greater inheritance coming. Well, this will be the difference between those who set their minds on things of earth and those who set their minds on the things of heaven. Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Our life is hidden in him, and we are waiting for him to come, and we will appear with him in glory. God gave us himself to save us. Christ died for our sins. Our old life is buried with him. And Christ rose from the dead, giving us new life. God gave us everything he could to save us. He gave us himself. And now once again, God gives himself as a pledge to you. And so while Jesus may have departed earth, God has not left us alone. He's given us a helper for our earthly pilgrimage. And he's sealed and guaranteed our eternal home by giving us his Spirit. And so this Spirit's work in our lives should make us excited. It should draw our hearts away from earth, and instead make us attached to our true home in heaven above. Jesus has given you a helper, and he's put his seal and guarantee on your life. And so live for your eternal home now, so that when Christ, who is your life, does appear, you'll be ready to continue living your eternal life with God. With God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we often do feel like we are pilgrims on a journey. That we don't belong here, yet at the same time we so easily become attached. We thank you so much for sending your Holy Spirit as our helper during this earthly pilgrimage, to reassure us and to promise us of our eternal home in heaven, and to work in our hearts so mightily that we might live for our eternal home now. Thank you for your Spirit. May we live by your Spirit, walk by your Spirit each day, that you may teach us, comfort us, convict us, empower us, and lead us home, so that we will meet our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in heaven. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.